Time calls. Amen. You pray God use Brother Grady about the service.
Well, I appreciate my friend Brother Hyde. He's one of the few that can probably get by with saying what he just said. But I heard a rumor going around tonight after I got here. And I heard that y'all getting kind of tired of Jessica being around. So I'm going to take her back home and keep her. So just the way it's going to be. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Preached out of that this morning, but I really felt like needed to come tonight. And of course, I told Brother Hyatt a while back, I said I probably should have been coming a lot more, but I don't want people to think I'm coming to preach because I need preaching just like everybody else does. But anyway, I felt the nudge of the Lord to go this route tonight. And when we come in and sit down, ladies were up here practicing. I said, Holly, I said, if they sing that song, that's a good sign of assurance right there. It's not that particular storm, but if you'll find your places in the Word of God tonight, Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27. It's always good to be at Westside Baptist Church, and I appreciate the help of the Lord, the goodness of God. Appreciate seeing you again. And Jessica informed me the other day, she said, Dad, you ain't been there since me and John started dating. I said, Lord, help us. There might be a reason off. No. But you pray for us tonight, Lord, to help us say some things that might be a blessing and a help to you. And trust the Lord to meet the needs. It's good to see Miss Linda in the service tonight. And John was with us there. If I'm not mistaken, it was on a Tuesday night. And we had dismissed from church, and he had called Jessica back and let her know what had happened. And we began to pray at that time and thank the Lord for helping her to be able to get back to the house of the Lord. Amen. Acts chapter number 27, for sake of time tonight, I'm not going to read all the scriptures. But if the Lord will help us, I want to begin in verse number 13. Verse number 13, the Bible said, and when the south wind blew, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. And may the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. I know this scripture is not anything new to you tonight, and we'll be saying a lot of things about from a lot of verses that we might not even reference tonight, but I trust the Lord to help us tonight as we try to honor Him. Father, I do pray, dear God, tonight for your help. I pray, Lord, that you bring back to my mind the things that you would like said. I pray, Lord, that you touch every heart. I pray, Lord, that you'd stir in every soul. Dear God, maybe someone here tonight lost and don't know you as a personal Savior. I pray, God, that you'd touch their heart. Lord, allow the bells of heaven to ring loud in their soul, dear God, and bring them to a saving knowledge of yourself. Help those, Lord, that are sick. Lord, those, dear God, I pray, that are struggling in the storms of life. I plead, Lord, that you'd help them tonight, and God, that you'd use us for your honor and your glory, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. With the Lord's help tonight, I want to try to preach on this thought, peace in the time of storm. Peace in the time of storm. When those ladies were up here practicing that song tonight, I said, well, that's pretty good assurance that God showed me this afternoon what needed to be done. And I'm thankful that the Lord is always on my side and always is my guide and helps me, amen, all the way through all the troubles and the sorrows. Quickly, by way of just an interpretation here of the Scripture and introduction of the Scripture that we find in verses 1 through 11, that there is a warning concerning the storm. Paul lets them know that they do not need to set sail. Paul tells them plainly, fellas, it's going to be harmful, dangerous. There's going to be not only a hazard to the ship, but a loss of lives as well if you set sail. But they wanted to listen to the owner of the ship, somebody in the world that thought they knew more than God, and God's man, and God let them see that God was still in charge, didn't he? Amen. But there was a warning before the storm. In verses 12 and 13, we find the wiles of Satan. I mean, as I read to you tonight, there in the beginning in verse number 13, the Bible said that when the soft wind blew there from the south, that they had supposed that they had obtained their purpose. And they turn things loose and set sail. But I'm telling you, you better stay close to the land and stay tied to the ship. Amen. And the dock, keep it right there where it needs to be. Amen. Until God says it's time to sail. I don't care if everything looks good. I don't care if everything sounds good. I don't care if everything looks like it's going to turn out good for you. If God did not say turn it loose and set sail, you need to stay at the dock. Amen. The wiles of Satan, buddy, I'm telling you, he let that soft south wind blow just to deceive them, to get them out in the open waters. And then in verses 14 through 20, there is a want of safety or salvation. These men out on this boat, 276 souls. Now, it's obvious that all of them don't know God. There's a few of them that do, and I don't know how many. The Bible's not clear on that, but he did say that the centurion allowed Paul to be there with his friends and some different ones. So I believe there were probably some on there with Paul that were saved, but there were many on that ship that were not saved. And so as they began to set sail and they hit that storm, there was many that needed safety and deliverance, if you please, or salvation. Circumstances in life brings us through storms in our life, and many times we don't understand why the storm. Many times we don't understand why did God allow this to happen to me. Many times we don't really take for granted that God knows what He's doing. God's never done anybody wrong. God's never made a mistake. Amen. He's always been right on time, in time, every time. And I'm telling you that when God allowed Paul to get on this ship, God had a purpose, and I'll get to that in a minute, but God had a purpose for Paul, and he told Paul what that purpose was. Amen. And I don't believe that they were supposed to be sailing at this time, but because they did set sail, God taught them all a lesson. Amen. They were going to, Paul was going to stand before Caesar. There's no doubt that God reveals himself to Paul in the most horrific storm these men have ever seen. These men have not been. They've been on the stormy waters without a doubt. These men have been out in the rough and the waves and the winds high and all the storms that blow. But for some reason, this storm called Euroclydon was more powerful and more dangerous than any storm that they had ever seen. And this situation could have been avoided if they'd have just listened to the man of God. Let me say this quickly. This is not the main message tonight, but let me say this quickly. It'll do you good to listen to the man of God. Might keep you out of some storms in your life. Amen. I was teasing Brother Hyatt the other day on the phone. I said, you need to make sure you preach that girl when she's down there. He said, I try to pour in the bomb. She said, it's enough preaching from you. Amen. I'm telling you, people need preaching. They need to hear what thus saith the Lord, and it'll keep them out of some trouble. You say, preacher, does that mean I'll never go through a storm in my life? Not on your life. Amen. Those disciples were in the boat that was sung about tonight. Jesus told them, get in the ship, go to the other side. Amen. Everything was in the will of God. The storm came in the will of God. The waves beat into the ship in the will of God. Jesus asleep in the hinder part of the ship in the will of God. Those men need to learn some lessons, increasing their faith in those times of storm. And I believe you'll find, if you'll study storms out in the New Testament of the Word of God, I believe you'll find that many of those storms were to increase the faith of God's people rather than a judgment in God's people. But storms can come if you won't listen to the man of God. We have this one before us tonight. Paul, in this situation, if they'd have just listened to him, it would have been avoided. But God told Paul in Acts 23:11, he says, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. God told Paul, now this is very important for the meat of the message tonight. God told Paul, Paul, you're going to Rome. You don't have to worry about these people that's trying to kill you, trying to do away with you, Paul. Don't worry about them. I'm taking you to Rome, Paul. You're going to testify of me before Caesar and many others. Amen. And God's going to get you there. I'm telling you, I don't know what God's will is for your life, but if you're walking in the will of God, nothing will take God by surprise, and He'll get you where you need to be. Amen. He'll get you there. He's got a purpose for you to testify to someone, bear witness to someone about the saving grace of God. So Paul was going to Rome. Didn't matter what happened, Paul was going to Rome. Amen. And so as Paul's on his way to Rome, we find that this ship is caught up in this storm. I can't tell you why a storm all the time has come in your life. I can't tell you if it's because you're out of the will of God. I can't tell you if it is the will of God. But I can tell you this, if you'll look to God in the midst of the storm, get right with God in the midst of the storm. If you're not right with God, you can come through the storm. Amen. Ain't no doubt about that. But you can be of good cheer. Paul tells these people that they need to be of good cheer. Now I want you to understand, Paul's talking to lost people for the most part. Paul's not talking to the church. Paul's not talking to people that know God, know anything about God. Paul's not talking to people that know anything about the Word of God and the promises of God. Paul's talking to the people, amen, that are looking at it from a worldly point of view. People that don't know and don't understand the protecting hand of God in their life. But I want you to see tonight how you can have peace in the time of storm. Just a quick few thoughts here tonight and I'll be done. But I believe, first of all, if we're going to have peace in a time of storm, there's going to have to be some communion. Amen. Amen. You cannot make it through the storm without getting alone with God. Amen. I'm telling you, I don't care how simple the storm may be. I don't care how strong the storm may be. If you are not spending some time with God, you're going to get in a mess. Amen. You're going to have some major problems if you don't get alone with God. I want to talk a little bit about that here real quick, and then we'll move right on. Notice what Paul said here in verse number 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Now it goes on and talks about how they done everything they could to survive that storm. They did everything they could with this ship to sail through the storm. Now I want to show you something. I believe everybody here would agree with me when I say that Paul, if not the greatest New Testament apostle, was nigh on it. I believe we could look at Paul's life and find very little fault in Paul's life. But I'm going to show you a little bit of an instance of Paul's fault in his life tonight. And I'm not making excuses and I'm not giving loopholes for anything. But I'm telling you, if Paul, as great a man of God as he was and as used of God as he was, if he can get to a place that he doubts as he doubted in this text, then I don't feel so bad sometimes. Amen. I didn't say it's right. But I said I don't feel so bad sometimes. Amen. I'm telling you, there's many a times, I get to poor mouthing myself because I just didn't believe God like I should have believed God. But I won't tell you, you can't believe God until you get alone with God. Amen. Let's look now, if you would please, beginning in verse number 9, look at what he said. Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. There was a time of fasting that these men were doing, and it's not just the people of God. It's everybody. And these men had been fasting. I don't know why, I don't know the ritual, hadn't studied that out. But I'm telling you, these men were fasting. That time had passed, but they were still fasting. Amen. In verse number 33, if you would, look real quickly there, just noticing these things. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing." Now, I don't know if you can sort this out or you can help me with it if you already know the answer later on. But I don't know if that meant 14 days after they were supposed to quit fasting, or if it was a total of 14 days altogether. But nonetheless, they have been at least 14 days in fasting. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if we're going to have some communion with God, it's going to take a sacrifice. Amen. You say, preacher, you got to fast every time if you want to get along with God? Not necessarily. But I'm telling you, it will take a sacrifice. It's going to take a sacrifice of your time. It's going to take a sacrifice for you to do what you need to do to be where you need to be able to get along with God. Too many people have got the idea in our time because of a lot of junk that goes around in a lot of churches that they can just say, "Lord, here I am," and He's there listening. And the whole week or days or hours before, they're living their lifestyle very loosely. Amen. Living for the world. Living for self. Amen. Looking for anything that they can gain instead of what they can do for God. And then all of a sudden they want God on their side. It don't work that way. Amen. It don't work that way. Now I understand Paul wasn't doing that. But what I'm telling you is it takes a sacrifice if you're going to commune with God. Amen. If you're going to have that time, now I want you to get a hold of this because I'm going to say something here in just a minute about prayer. But if you're going to commune with God, what that communion means is two or more people that come together and sit down in a relationship, and when I say relationship, friendship, and sit down and talk with one another and reason with one another and learn from one another. If you want to have that kind of communion, it's going to cost you something. It's not pennies and dimes and dollars. It's going to cost you a sacrifice. These people were fasting. Amen. I see not only was it fasting involved, a sacrifice, but I see a separation. Boy, we live in a day where people don't want to separate for God, do they? They don't want to exclude themselves from anything in the world to be identified with Christ. You know what that tells me? Tells me about like that crowd in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Amen. That they didn't want to name the name of Christ. The Bible said, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And people want to still live in their old loose lifestyle and their wicked lifestyle and claim that they love God, claim that they know God. They don't know God. Amen. The God of heaven that came down and saved me from my sin did exactly that. Amen. He forgave me of all my iniquities. He healed me of all my diseases. I preached on that this morning. Let me just throw this out there at you. Amen. When he healed me of all my diseases, amen, my first disease was a sin disease. Amen. Sin had control of me. It had dominion over me. Amen. A disease, that's what it is in your physical body. It takes control of your body and it does with you as it pleases. And my Bible tells me that when a sinner gets saved, sin hath no more dominion over them. Amen. Are you still sin sick tonight? Amen. Paul's preaching to these people and letting these people know where they need to be. And Paul begins to separate himself. Let me just get back into this train of thought here. Verse 21. But after long abstinence. Once you get a hold of that now, they've all been working on the ship. They're all running together. They're doing things together trying to save themselves. Amen. And Paul begins to walk away. I can probably hear speculation of somebody saying, well, where's Paul going? What makes him think he don't need to be helping us? Amen. Oh, but he was helping them more than they realize. I'm going to tell you something. The man of God sometimes needs to get alone. Amen. He needs to be able to just get away, get with God. I'm not talking about just abandoning the church and abandoning his responsibilities, but I am talking about just walking away from some things, getting along with God and finding the answers out that he needs to know. Amen. They need that. We need that. I'm a preacher. I know I need that. Amen. Like I said a while ago, I need preaching just like you need preaching. Amen. I went to that meeting there the first week of June, and I'm telling you, it just kind of recharged my battery. Amen. But, you know, I'm finding out, you know, the older a battery gets, even though it'll charge up, it just seems like it don't last as long before it needs another charge. And I'm finding that out in my spiritual life. I'm finding out that I can get recharged, maybe even just after one service, I can get recharged. But it seems like two or three services go by and I'm ready for another charge. I'm telling you, this old world will make you weary. Amen. It'll wear you down. You got to separate yourself. You got to get away and get alone with God. And then that brings me to my next thought there, the 20, verses 23 through 25. He got alone with God. The supplication in this communion. Notice here what he says. Paul said, there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve. Now I want you to understand something. That angel was not Michael. That angel was not Gabriel. Amen. That angel was not somebody else. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like in Psalms when he says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He got alone. He separated himself and got alone with God and began to supplicate with God. You see, the Lord told him in Revelation chapter number 3, the church of Laodicea, he said, if you'll open the door, he's standing at the door knocking, and if you'll open the door, he said, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, when he comes in and he sits down and begins to feed you, and you begin to feast on his word, amen. And y'all talking back and forth, son, things are fixing to pick up. Amen. Hallelujah. We need that supplication if we're going to have communion. I want to say secondly, notice the courage. If you're going to have peace in a time of storm, you're going to have some courage. Now, the courage that I'm going to point out to you tonight didn't start out right off the bat. But it came. So I submit to you tonight that you might not feel like you got the courage to get through the storm that you're going through right now. But if you'll get into that place that I just preached about and get along with God, you'll find that courage. I want you to notice what Paul said in verses 9 through 11. The Bible said, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. Now here's what Paul said. He said, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul. It kind of sounds like a little bit of a doubt to me, don't it, you? God told Paul, I told you, remember that scripture in Acts 23 in verse number 11. God told Paul, Paul, fear not. You're going to Rome. You're going to Rome. Now, Paul perceived. It didn't say that God told Paul that, but Paul perceived. Maybe he had some knowledge of sailing. Maybe he had knowledge of looking, if you please, at the sky and discerning some of the weather. And Paul said, fellas, this is going to be with much hurt and damage to the ship and also a loss of lives. You need to listen to me, Paul. What Paul said, you need to listen. But they didn't listen. It's almost like Paul's doubting or having difficulty, if you please, with this voyage. And then I see his despair in verse number 20. I've already read it. I'm just going to hit it and go. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us. Here's what Paul said. All hope. Now it's one thing to get discouraged. It's one thing to get distressed. But buddy, when you fall into despair, hey man, that means that you don't see any hope, any way out. I want you to notice what Paul said. Now this is not a contradiction, but of God's Word, that is. But I want you to notice what Paul said in his pearls, as we call it, and all these things. Hey man, Paul ended up saying, I was perplexed, but not in despair. When those situations were, but he's in despair here. He said, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You ever been there?
Yeah.
You ever felt like it's all over? Uh-huh. If you hadn't, I've probably been there enough for all of us.
Yeah.
It's all over. There's no need in worrying about it anymore. Just hang our harps on the willows. Just go on over there and sit underneath a juniper tree. We're the only ones that serve God anyway.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I've been there, buddy. And it ain't been long, and sometimes I still feel it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I want to preach on Elijah's life sometime if the Lord will let me. I believe He touched my heart about it, but I'm scared to because I'm afraid what I'm going to find out about me.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Come to a place of despair, Paul did. He said, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I don't know what storm you may be going through in your life, what storm you just came through, what storm you might be fixing to go through, but I'm telling you, it might be the storm of your life. And you might feel like, hey, I ain't going to make it. I ain't going to make it. But I want to tell you, if you'll get along with God, you make it. You can make it. Take courage. Now, we don't see the courage much in this difficulty or doubt. We don't see the courage much in this despair, but I want you to notice what happened after he got alone with God. That was in verse 20. Verse 21, he got alone with God. Now, notice what he said in verse number 30 and 31. Here's the declaration of his courage. In verse number 30, the Bible said, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved.
Right.
Paul took courage. He not only said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And I believe God. Be of good cheer, sirs, for I believe God. He not only said all that in his courage, but he told that centurion and that soldier, he said, listen, fellas, if these guys get off this ship, we're done. Now you remember, Paul told them, if you set sail, we're going to have problems. But they wouldn't listen to Paul then. But now they're beginning to listen to Paul. If you want to have peace in a time of storm, you're going to have to take some courage in your declaration. You're going to have to stand and proclaim what thus saith the Lord. Amen. I've been preaching fairly hard here lately. According to Brother Hyde, I've always preached that away, but I've been preaching pretty hard lately, and been preaching pretty strong about the sins of our day, sodomy and drunkenness and drugs and everything. I mean, illicit lifestyles, you know, adultery, whoremonging, fornication, all that junk. I've been hitting it really hard. And I was like, Lord, it seemed like more have gone than have ever come. And I don't know if they'll ever come back, but praise God, this morning we had 7 visitors. Amen. 3 different sets of family. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what God said when I seen all them people come in? The Lord said, you just keep doing right. I was praying the other day. I was like, Lord, what am I going to do? We're either going to have some people, or once these that are here die out, we're done. And God sent some visitors by to encourage us. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Like I said, I don't know if they'll stay or what's going to happen. But I can tell you this. He sent some visitors by to encourage this preacher. Amen. And it's time we just stand and declare what thus saith the Lord. Amen. And then the confidence. Boy, Paul had some confidence, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
I say, preacher, you kind of contrasting yourself there. Yeah. Paul did have some doubt and difficulty concerning this storm. In his courage, he felt like he had come to a place of despair that they was all going to die. But when he got alone with God, the confidence came. That's why I said a while ago, it's so important for you to get alone with God. I'm not even going to preach the points, but let me tell them to you. His confidence was found in the person of God in verse 23. The angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And I want you to notice what he said. He said, there stood by me. His presence. Amen. You know, I love my wife dearly. I love my children dearly. I love the people of God dearly. But I want to tell you something. If nobody's going to stand with me, as long as he does, I'll be all right.
Amen.
I know that's a lot easier to say than to do, but I'm telling you, I've been in the places just recently in my life that it wasn't something that my wife could say. It wasn't something that my children could say. It wasn't something that the church family could say. It was something that God had to say.
Yeah.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, make sure your confidence is in the right person.
Amen.
If you put your confidence in man or yourself, which is mankind, it's going to fail you. There's nothing wrong with having confidence in people in the right perspective. But if you're basing everything that you are and everything that you do upon an individual, you're in trouble unless it's God. Amen. Amen. Not only was he confident in the person of God, but he was confident in the person, in the purpose of God. In verse 24, here's what God said, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar." And get a hold of this, and lo, God hath given them, that's all them that sail with thee. I'm going to tell you something. We need to have some confidence in the purpose of God. God told him back in chapter number 23, you're going to Rome. But Paul seemingly had lost the purpose of God in his life, hadn't he? And now God, in his presence with that communion, God restores unto him that purpose in his life. This is the will of God for you, Paul. I wish I could just be real plain with you tonight and tell you some things, but I can't. But I'm going to tell you something, buddy. When God shows up, when you have lost sight of the purpose that God has in your life, and you're ready to throw in the towel, quit, and say it's all over with, when God shows up, things change. Amen. The confidence in the purpose of God, and then the confidence in the promise of God. He said, Paul, he said, you're not only going to stand before Caesar. He said, Paul, I've given them all that sail with you. Now I want you to notice this, and I'm done tonight. I want you to notice this. When he said, I'll give you all them that sail with you. And there's scriptures there. Verses 26, I think, and following there all the way through the end of the chapter. When he said, I've given you all them that sail with you, that did not mean that Paul could just sit back and say, all right, fellas, just take it easy. We're going to Rome. After that was what I read to you a while ago, where Paul saw some men under color, the Bible says, that was going to let down the lifeboat, safety boat, and try to escape. And Paul told that centurion and that soldier, he said, if these don't abide in the ship, we're all going to die. God gives out promises, church, but many are conditional. The conditions are if you've been obedient or not. Can I say this? You can't make it to a certain island unless you stay in the ship.
Amen.
You say, now wait a minute, preacher. They all had the bail ship and jump out and swim and some on boards. Yeah, once the ship was done. But not before. When the order came, they told them to jump over and swim onto the island. When they got to the place where they needed to be, God allowed the order to come. And they swam onto the shore and floated to the shore. But I'm going to tell you something. If you try to jump off the ship, get out of the ship, under disguise, just trying to sneak away and get away to save your own hide, you might cost some people their lives. Stay with the ship. If you want peace in the time of the storm, you're going to have to commune with God. You're going to have to take courage with God. And you're going to have some confidence in God. Father, thank you for your help tonight in preaching of the Word of God. Help your people do that work that needs to be done in their lives. Settle them, Lord. I don't know why you put it on my heart, Lord. I don't know if anybody here is going through a storm or fixing to go through a storm. But Lord, you help them according to thy word. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Appreciate the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen. Let's stand tonight. If you need to pray, you come pray tonight. If you're going through some hard times in your life, hardships, storms, you need to come pray.